Hi, welcome to Unpitchable, a podcast about three ordinary friends who come together to pitch three extraordinary movie plots to fake movie sequels. I'm Nick Kagi.
I'm Tim Catania.
And I'm David Johnson.
What's going on, fellas?
So I spent last weekend crawling around under my dad's house to help him with plumbing. And it was the worst. But, so I was laying under there at one point, and he had, like, the whole jumpsuit and stuff. And I've got, like, the jumpsuit on, and it's really clean under there. There's not, like, any terror. Like, I mean, I hate spiders. Hate them. And I've been bit by a snake before, and I'd still prefer there to be snakes under there before spiders.
I hate spiders so much.
I was laying under there in the dirt, and I kind of came to the realization that now I know why my dog, Sport, likes to crawl under the shed in our backyard, because the dirt was so cold.
Can I stop you right now?
Nope.
Did you stay underneath there for like seven hours?
I wanted to.
You were just like, you stayed under the house and took a nap?
I wanted to. Yeah, I was like, man, this is actually comfortable. Like,
your dad was like pinned between a pipe and some stone, and you're like, Dad, I'll get to you in a minute.
No, but I was crawling around, and like, because so he called me like a few weeks before, like, hey, I need your help with like replacing some of the jacks that are holding the house up. And I was like, that sounds dangerous. I think I'm busy.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll have something to do. Yeah, trust me.
I'm busy not dying, because that sounds like the perfect way for me to die, is this whole house to come crashing down on me. So it was kind of weird, like crawling around on there, bumping in the jacks. So I was like, can I knock this out? Can this house follow me right now?
Did you cozy up and you're like, this is what it feels like to be a corpse?
Yes.
Dad, bury me into the house. Right now. It's so comfortable.
Just leave me.
That sounds absolutely terrible. I looked under my house once and I said, no. I think Nick's actually been underneath.
I have been. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. I ran wire underneath your house one day.
Yeah.
My house was before you lived there.
I looked under the house and was like, I'm not going to fit.
No, there's a way. I'll show you this.
No, there is. You got to like loop back apparently.
Okay, I was like, you got to loop
and
around.
And I said, no. Yeah, I'll just drill a hole through the wall instead of running anything under the house.
My parents' house, there's not a ton of room to crawl. Like, you've basically got to stay on your stomach. Under my house, you can almost get on your hands and knees in some places. And it's like, this is the most room.
You're like...
Like, after I got out of my parents, I was like, man, your guy's house, like, sucks. Like,
Brandy, you tell Brandy, I found another room. Yep. And she's like, what are you doing with that TV? Don't worry about it.
It's land there.
It's like sitting there at an angle because you can't fit your 50-inch television underneath there upright.
It's the bulb.
It's just
the
bulb.
What is this?
What are you doing? Did you cut away the floor to fit your TV underneath?
But all the time that I spent under there had a negative impact on the fact that in the middle of the night I rolled over like to just change sides of sleeping, and my abs hurt so bad that it like woke me up for a minute.
See,
like,
I'd be like, psyched. Ah! If I rolled over and my abs hurt, I'd be psyched. I was like, I have an ab. Sweet. I did it.
Well, to be fair, they're buried under fat, but they're there. I know they're there.
Protection. Why would you, like, not protect your most important asset, your abs?
Yeah, but that's what I had going on.
If, God forbid, something happened to Brandy, you need to, like, unveil them. You got to protect them.
Okay.
Don't say okay. It's true.
Tim, what about you?
What's been going on, Tim?
So I have nothing to talk about this week. I'm not a very... Okay, so let me go ahead and say this. I've probably said this before. I'm not a very interesting person in general, but I did watch a little bit of Fuller House, and I had a realization.
Yes.
First off, I don't think it's for me, which is fine. A lot of people seem to like it. I'm not going to get down on it. It seems like Full House, so that's cool. But I realized that Bob Saget is a giant. He is a giant human being.
Yeah.
He is like hunched over that whole show. And if he stood to his full height, he'd be towering over everybody, and they wouldn't want to be on the show with him. I'm pretty sure that's why he does it. He's a giant, terrifying human being. And I was going to make fun of his voice, but then I realized I have a terrible voice, so I can't say anything. But no, I was like, that house must be 15 stories tall, because there's no way he could be even standing that much upright.
Well, it's Fuller, because he...
Anyway, that's all I did was watch some of that. So, and Supernatural, I'm trying to catch up. And it's still good.
Far behind on that.
It's still good.
Of course it is.
Cool.
Nick.
9 seasons in.
So I'll just kind of tag on to Tim and finish a little bit of his thought. But we're really just going to go with TV shows for a second. So I finished Gilmore Girls this week.
Hey.
How you feeling,
man?
You pick me up?
It's not your fault, Nick.
Just remember, it's not your fault.
It's not your fault, Nick.
It was rough. I was so disappointed when it ended, and
well, my whole really thing was like Rory gets hit by a car and they leave it at that cliffhanger. It's ridiculous.
I just didn't like. It's really hard because Gilmore Girls is a really hard show.
I didn't like when Luke had to saw off his own arm because he was stuck in those rocks. That was really like, and they didn't even show what happened. Does he live? I don't know.
Continue.
You done? Yeah. Okay. Gilmore Girls is already a hard show to get into if you're a guy, but my wife started watching it because David's wife somehow talked her into watching it. And so it took me a little while, and I finally got into it, and then at the end, it's a non-climactic. There's nothing that happens at the end. Yeah. Like, nothing.
You can't even call it anticlimactic. That would assume that there was some sort of building climax at the end of the movie.
But that's all I got. But the other thing I really wanted to talk about, because we talked about Gilmore Girls a couple episodes ago, is Batman vs. Superman comes out soon, and I'm kind of pumped for it.
Like 2 weeks.
But you're more pumped for the Gilmore Girls
return. For the Gilmore Girls return.
I can be honest, I am.
So Gilmore Girls is one of those things where, like, I was kind of... My wife, we just had our baby when my wife started watching it.
Wait, what? You guys had a baby?
No. I was lying. We had just had our son, and so we really couldn't do anything. We couldn't leave the house, and she's turned on the show, and I was like, well, I mean, if it's making her happy, we'll watch it. It's kind of funny, actually. It's one of those shows that grows on you, and you're like, man, I shouldn't like this. They should have named it something different so I could feel better about liking it. That's what kills me.
You just gotta wear it.
But anyway,
speaking of that, you guys know that there's a podcast out called Gilmore Guys, and it's just two guys who sit together and talk about Gilmore Girls.
I'd be on that podcast.
Yeah, but they're having a heyday at the moment. They
probably have no idea who we are, but they're very funny. I listen to them from time to time. It's actually pretty funny.
Was it one of those things like you finish the show and you're like, went to go Google it to see if the author said anything about what actually happened? Yeah. That ending is not good.
For anybody who hasn't seen the ending, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Oh, wait. Yeah, I'm going to spoil it for you. Nothing happened.
That's fair. That's a fair spoiler.
Yeah, except for Lorelai's mom bursts into flames just out of nowhere. And they have to pat her out. And they don't ever explain it, because that was going to happen in the next season.
Well, I do know, like, the author said, or the creator of the show said that it was her hope that Grandma would get with Luke and that Lorelai would get with Dean, and then Rory would just end up as a paraplegic.
Yeah, well, that actually happened, which is why it was such a frustrating ending. Dean comes back, and he's, like, an alcoholic. And Lorelai was like, I like
Andy
making...
Demons.
Yeah, and Lorelai was like, I make bad decisions. Dean! Yeah, that's what happened. I think that us talking about the ending of the show should just be our podcast from now on. Is what actually should have happened.
Other than that, yeah, so Batman versus Superman. I got nothing, because Batman versus Superman is such a... For anybody who doesn't know me, which is probably everybody who listens to this podcast, I'm very much... I have a room in my house dedicated to Batman. And David and Ted...
For whenever he comes over.
Yeah. This is your guest room, Batman. You stay in this bed. And Mindy's like, he's never coming, Nick. He doesn't exist. And you're like, he is! Shut up! The counseling really helped, but occasionally you'll have fits, you know? And I get it. It's cool.
I'm gonna edit all of that
out. No, but I like your Batman room. It's got some cool Batmobiles in there. I like it.
Yeah, I really love Batmobiles, but Man of Steel is something that I didn't really like, even though David loved it. And as you guys know, David has poor taste.
Well, I was gonna say that because that's a bad movie.
I love that movie.
It's pretty rough.
It had the potential to be really good, and then you went and watched it, and he punches the dude to death at the end.
He snaps his neck.
Yeah, sure, whatever. It doesn't matter. The whole problem is he kills this guy, and he's not supposed to kill people.
Well, in the comics, he does kill. Oh, no, I'm not getting into this. No. He does kill.
It doesn't matter. His whole running thing now.
Killing Zod in the comics defines why he doesn't kill.
But I didn't like it. Well,
the other thing that really upset me is when he let his dad just die. The other thing that bugged me with that movie is the transition from being Clark Kent to Superman when he discovers, like, the super suit or whatever. Is, and I went back and counted, it's 38 seconds long. 38 seconds. I'm not lying, you can check.
All right, I'm going to go check this right now. Go ahead and pause
the podcast. All right, we're going to pause the podcast.
I'm back. That didn't happen.
That did, in fact, happen.
No one. There's no one. No one debating this. The audience isn't like, no, it didn't. Like, you're assuming the audience is like yelling at you. No,
you guys are just.
No. Okay. Just kidding.
So, Superman, Batman versus Superman looks like it could be really good, but it also looks like it could be really bad.
It's got that like, it's got that really good production value, and then the sheen of just garbage on it with that filter that they use for that movie. David knows.
Dude's not gonna say
I can't have this conversation.
So here's actually my prediction for this movie. It's not gonna be bad, but it's not gonna be good. It's not gonna be their
Marvel. So it's
gonna
be a DC movie.
Yeah, it's not gonna be their Marvel movie. It's gonna be a movie that's acceptable as a film, and you're gonna enjoy it, but you're also gonna be like, man, I wish it was more like
Marvel.
And that's because fair. They're trying to go darker still. I think that's their problem. The problem is they're not. There's a certain joy when it comes to superhero and most superhero comics. I think even Superman.
This feels very dramatic instead of very.
I think they're trying to go darker, but they're not. Like it's like they want you to think they're going darker.
Well, that's because they use that filter. That's why they're like, we'll make it darker, like literally.
If we took the filter off, they'd be hugging.
Have you seen, there's like a video circulating online where they take like whatever color filter off of Man of Steel and it looks great
really
in color.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have a problem with movies going darker. And my hope is that they set it darker and then it gets brighter. Like, not the color. The tone of the movie.
When Batman punches Superman to death with his kryptonite ring.
It sparkles in it.
And then there's a little sparkle in his eye when he realizes.
My hope
this is what I was meant for.
My hope is, I'm going to be really serious because Tim's going to be trying to be funny.
Do it. Go.
Is that they make it, they start out the movie very dark and very like, almost like there's no hope. And then like the heroes come together and it's like, there is hope. Whereas Avengers, it's just, there's always hope.
Yeah. I think that actually isn't a bad idea for the plot. And it's not a bad direction to go with the DC characters as they are. Because to me, they've never felt like a superhero team.
Nah.
So giving the audience something for them to rally behind is really important to make them closer. Like, because the Avengers are the Avengers. Yes, they have their own comics, but they're still the Avengers. But Batman is Batman, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that is actually a really good way for them to hope that's what they do. I'm just worried, man. And the whole Lex Luthor thing. He's like, I made this social network and now I'm Lex Luthor. Like, it doesn't.
What if they just wrote that in as it was Mark
Zuckerberg? I killed this clown zombie. I think that was the same guy.
It is.
Michael Cera look-alike.
Mm-hmm.
Number two.
Generic
skinny white guy. That was actually like written in the script for Lex Luthor, so he was a shoo-in.
So I love Man of Steel. I think you guys are crazy.
I don't,
for not
okay,
liking it.
I should restate that. I don't think it's a bad movie. I don't think it's a
I
good
don't think
movie.
It's a.
I think it's
have
okay.
This talk. I had this conversation with Nick. The only thing I will say, I've got it. I didn't want to say it. I got it. You said that he becomes Superman in 30 seconds, but you've also conceded to the fact that the point the director tried to make is that whole movie is about him figuring out who Superman is.
Yeah,
who
he's going to be. The tone. Oh, after watching the interview, I agree that the movie actually, because I did not like the movie at all. In fact, my favorite part of the movie was like the last 2 minutes where he walks into the newsroom and you're like, this feels like Superman. Mm-hmm. And there's like an energy about it. But the rest of the movie sucked because they didn't follow any principles. My whole complaint was that they didn't follow any Superman principles. Like, you know, Superman doesn't kill people. Superman isn't gonna let his dad die. Like, the whole point, the reason Superman becomes Superman is because his dad dies and there's this legacy upon his life.
Mm-hmm.
But like, they were like, he was already kind of Superman and he let his dad die, and that was just really weird.
Yeah, that scene,
but that was
me.
The thing, like, that, so
there are other options, and Clark Kent's not supposed to be unintelligent.
Superman. Yeah. And that's where it was weird, is because it was like his dad sacrificed himself, and it was just like...
He's like save the dog, but not your dad.
Yeah, save the dog.
That really bothered me the whole time.
But like, looking back, because I'm a pretty hard fanboy, when the director, which I think was Zack Snyder,
mm-hmm.
yeah, Zack Snyder,
that's right.
He said that like everybody complained about all these things that happened in the movie, and like I also complained about all the destruction that Superman caused, because Superman would never do that, ever.
Well, he destroys some stuff in the comics, I'm
but it's
sure.
like,
yeah,
but
like,
there's
can't
like
control what other people destroy.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so, like, my complaint was that that's not Superman. Like, that's not the principles of Superman. So Zack Snyder did this interview like a year ago because he just got sick of hearing people complain about it. It's fine to complain because you're right. That's not Superman. But Superman, Clark Kent had just become Superman. So it's like that movie was about him becoming Superman.
Yeah.
So when we pick up in Batman versus Superman. He's it's actually Superman 2 years later, yeah. And like right. The whole repercussions are that like Bruce Wayne is getting really concerned because it's almost like a godlike fame. People are starting to really
and the arc in the comics that they based it some of it off of. I mean, that's kind of the running theme, and so I think there is hope because it's a great story. I just worry about DC in general. I feel like they should just let Marvel make their movies. Dude, that'd be great.
Hire Joss Whedon.
I actually respect Zack Snyder for saying something, though, because he didn't pull a Sam... I guess Sam Raimi probably said something during Spider-Man 3, but that was a terrible movie.
He said multiple times that that's not anywhere where he wanted that movie to go.
Yeah. It's one of those... I don't know.
He just kept getting like notes like, you gotta do this!
What's wrong with Spider-Man 3?
Nope. If we get on this rabbit trail, you'll have like 6 podcasts out of one podcast, and my wife will be calling me.
My favorite part was the dancing from Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a great movie. It's probably on my top 10 list. If we did our top 10 list, it would be number one. Number one, best movie ever created. So I get what you're saying. I have hope for that movie. I just don't think it's gonna be good. If that makes sense. Like I want it to be desperately. I really like Superman.
I'm cautiously optimistic is maybe a better word. You remember how we went to Fantastic Four and we're like, oh man, all the reviews say it's going to suck, but I hope it's good.
Well, that was your fault.
It sucked really bad, so. Yeah.
That was a Marvel movie, Chris Fox.
I did.
I remember you wanted to go see Ghost Rider, and I think I said, this is going to be a bad movie. Uh-huh. Don't go see it. Uh-huh. And you said, Nicolas Cage? On a motorcycle, and he's got a skull for a head that's on fire. How could this be bad?
To be fair,
that's a quote.
I was right. How could it be bad? Forget that he's Ghost Rider. Just what if it was a movie about Nicolas Cage just having a weird skull head and riding a motorcycle?
That's a biography about Nicolas Cage.
Every day for Nicolas Cage. All right, you guys want to get I guess not into the movies, but
no, because it's different this time.
Yeah. So this is episode 10. We made it. 55% of podcasts don't make it to episode 10. I made that up. Yep.
No, that's actually true. They say that something like over 60% of podcasts don't make it past episode 5.
It's probably because they kill each other.
That could be true.
Fair enough.
So this is episode 10, guys. We did it.
We made it. Podcast over. Finale podcast. It's a 10 episode arc.
So David, tell them kind of like what episode 10 is about for us.
So this is our origins episode. We've kind of established ourselves as a podcast about fake movies, but now we need to get into why we started in the first place. So we kind of wanted to just take episode 10 to be a little more laid back, a little more conversational than normal. And we're not going to pitch the movies so much as we're just going to talk about the movies that sort of start it all. We've all been friends for a while and kind of pitch movies back and forth just randomly throughout our friendship. And these are the movies that kind of sparked us to go, we should do a podcast.
Yeah. Something we really enjoy. And it was kind of a kickstart for this all as a whole. So who wants to start off?
You've got the list.
I can start.
Let's talk. So just start at the top.
Okay, so we'll start at the top of the list. So the first movie that I ever talked about with Tim is we were actually on a bus on a way back from another city, and we were just talking about like kind of funny ideas for movies. And I had always had this idea that like a grown-up Kevin McAllister in Home Alone was just, you know, still setting traps. And my movie wasn't quite as refined, but Tim had a really good idea for it, and we just kind of workshopped.
Yeah, we kind of spitballed this movie. I think Nick called it Home Alone 3,
2, T-O-O. There's already a Home Alone 3
and
out.
I always pitched it as a Home Alone 2, the sequel to Home Alone 2, because Home Alone 3 has a different character. Not that the canon matters at all, because, you know. But you want to hit us with the premise, Nick, or what you thought?
Yeah, the premise I think we all three have kind of spitballed around is the idea that Kevin McAllister grows up and he's horribly... diagnosed with PTSD from surviving attacks.
Yeah, I mean, two grown men tried to kill him twice.
Twice.
Idea is that like he's living in an apartment and he's setting up. He keeps setting traps for like the mailman and like his cleaning lady and like his parents are checking in on him, but he keeps setting traps for him, and it's just like every incident in the house has some sort of booby trap.
See, and the thing I went with it was similar. So, following Home Alone 2, You know, the authorities get wind that this kid's been left alone twice on Christmas, and they're like, these people aren't fit to be parents, and so they take him into the foster program, and he grows up a foster kid, and he's not, you know, too bad off, but he's definitely got some issues.
He's got some issues.
And he goes off to college, and everyone else goes home for Christmas break because they have someone to go home to. He doesn't, because he's kind of basically an orphan. You know, he doesn't see his family because he doesn't trust them.
Right.
And he basically booby traps the whole dorm. Because he has like flashbacks, or the Libyans find out that there's radioactive material on campus, and he doesn't know why, but there's people with guns, and he has to use his skills that he learned as a child to survive the winter break.
Okay, yeah.
that was my whole idea for Home Alone 2 too.
We got any kind of traps that he said? Did you get into trap design?
Well, so I thought that, you know, he's a grown man now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, maybe he put some nails on the paint buckets, and when they hit you, you die immediately. And he has access to the lab, I figure, in the school.
Uh-huh.
And so he has some makeshift explosives.
Sure.
You know? I wrote some of the script to this movie because I'm a weirdo. And he basically has a... I forget what he called him. It was like... Charles something Carver, and he called him Chuckles, was his name, was his roommate. And he doesn't understand why Kevin is, this is like foreshadowing, obviously. Kevin is always reading his chemistry book. He doesn't understand why he's so fascinated by it, but Kevin understands. Like, he gets that, you know, I can make these things. And so the beginning of it is him getting like a head start on his like chemistry 2 or something for school.
Okay.
Which is probably a class. I don't know. I didn't graduate. Sure.
Chemistry 2, that sounds right.
Sounds right, doesn't it? 201? Yeah. Chemistry 201.
That's it.
But I just figured, yeah, he'd have to fight off either some attackers, or he goes insane, and when they come back from Christmas break, he's booby-trapped the whole dorm.
I like this.
Yeah.
I like this. This is one of my favorites. Just because, I if you can't tell, I like when the movies like, get a little dark. Get a little dark. It cracks me
who
up.
Who does that music video?
Which is the one where he does come back?
No, they do a music video where they edit in... the band members' faces on some of the people from Home Alone.
And
he's actually, like, they add blood splatter and stuff. And
I
so
know what you're talking
it
about.
Kinda makes,
I don't remember who it is.
It kind of makes Home Alone 2.
It's
I think
really
it's Home
funny.
Alone 1.
It's real random.
Yeah.
Like, that is random in and of itself, but it's, like, it's not a huge band.
No, but the guy
it's
edited
so
himself together.
Kind of band,
but he adds blood splatter to all of it, and you realize, like, man, the stuff that Kevin was doing to these guys should have killed them.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, they grab, electrified door handle.
You see that guy's skeleton
for a while. Yeah,
he uses a blowtorch, like a flamethrower blowtorch, on his head.
He blows one of them up in a toilet.
I was thinking like in the alternate, so where it's not the Libyans attacking for the radioactive material they have on campus. It's Kevin being crazy, and they get the sticky bandits who've been reformed in prison to come, like, say, "Hey, Kevin."
Oh, they're like doing their like.
Yeah,
like 12-step kind of like.
They're
apologize,
yeah, they're out.
Like,
well, they're no. They come out after Kevin's already set the dorm up, and they're like trying to negotiate with him. And they're like, "Hey, Kevin, we have some people who want to apologize," and like his family comes, and whatever. And he's like, "All right, I'll let you in," and they just get mutilated.
You gotta survive the gauntlet.
You gotta survive the gauntlet. Welcome to my own little Saw arena. And it's just like Wipeout. People are like trying to dodge stuff to get back to their stuff.
Wipeout.
The one kid's like, "I gotta feed my hamster," and he's like trying to get through the door. And I think the only one who can talk him down is his roommate, of course. But
Chuckles.
Chuckles dies. Chuckles dies immediately. What are we talking about? His name's Chuckles. He was meant to die. That was in the version I actually wrote some of. Chuckles gets taken hostage. And he has by the attackers on the school, and he has a heroic sacrifice for Kevin because Chuckles is a good dude. Chuckles is the only person who's ever really loved Kevin,
Chuckles
and
is
he
can
never
shooter.
Fully express it. Man, that's a dumb movie.
I like it.
All right, David,
what do you got, David?
So I've got. I don't even remember how we came up with this one.
I don't know. We were just picking
bad genius
bad movies.
This is Hellifent 2.
Oh, we should say this is an original.
Yeah, this is 100% an original movie. And this is even, like, let's just go ahead and get this out. This is before Sharknado or anything like that happened.
This is in high school for me and Dave.
Yeah, so this is like seeing Sharknado and things getting made is like, oh man, we missed it.
Yeah, we missed our window.
We missed our window. This is a Hellfit 2, colon, a Hellfit never forgets.
And there was no first movie. That was kind of the whole pitch.
The biggest part of the joke is there's no Hellfit 1.
We just wanted the Hellfit never forgets to just be like the main
to make sense somehow.
Plot point. And I think the idea was, in fact, we could totally pitch this movie because we never came up with anything but the tagline.
Oh, well,
I think that there's some
ivory poachers.
Oh, yeah. We do
mean,
a lot of...
there's a reason that this elephant is mad.
I think most of our movies are about animal cruelty. It's really weird because neither of us care. Like, you and I both go to the store and we see the organic chicken and we're like, I want my chicken to die the worst way possible. I want my chicken to have, like...
I
want to
taste the fear.
I want my chicken to have been marinated... its whole life in barbecue sauce, and it died because it drowned in barbecue sauce. Like, that's how we feel about animals, yeah, unfortunately. That's fair. It's like, well, yeah, he died of natural causes. What? He drowned on the barbecue sauce.
It was natural for him.
His snorkel fell out and he drowned. We're the worst. I talked about that one time with somebody about how if you fed chickens chicken, eventually what would it taste like?
Oh my gosh, I remember this.
Chicken fed chicken. Yeah, chicken fed chicken. It's our farm. Priority. We're starting it.
Yep.
It should be a thing. That's
don't
terrible.
Do you remember on The Social Network, that's like one of the issues they have with...
I have not seen The Social Network.
Are you really serious?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a true story too. It didn't just happen in The Social Network movie. But there's an issue where Mark Zuckerberg accuses the other creator of cannibalism with chickens because they were feeding chicken strips to a chicken. Go watch the movie.
I didn't know that.
I feel like that thing did happen.
Not really.
I believe it.
I feel like, yes.
But I just, I don't know. Anyway. Back to Mount Fear. The elephant. That's the next one. Sorry.
We didn't workshop a whole ton of plot. It was mainly just we wanted to make
we
dumb
just figured
elephant
that,
jokes.
So, like, how could you be scared? Okay, I can understand being scared of an elephant, but also, like, to disable them, all you have to do is put a chain around their ankle for a little bit, and then eventually you can tie anything and they won't move.
Yeah, I was about to say, they just kind of think it's
they kind of think they're tied down.
Yeah. But yeah, so...
Or, you're like walking down the hallway, you're creeping down the hallway, and then you hear this stomping coming from, like, 2 miles away because elephants are huge. Like, this is the worst movie villain possible.
It's a dumb idea. It was dumb. It could still be a thing. I feel like sci-fi, if you're listening...
It's going to happen.
If you're listening... We got you.
We just need a cast of the most generic people possible to kill. And we've got it.
I feel like most of the hobbits aren't doing anything.
Most of the people who play the
other hobbits, Merry and Pippin, they're probably not busy.
Probably not busy.
Anyway, so that was mine. What's next on the list?
Mounting Fear.
Yeah, Mounting Fear. This is one that I came up with in a fever dream, and David came up with the title a long time ago. And Nick probably, I don't think you've heard about it. Have you heard about this one?
No, I'm excited to hear about Mounting Fear.
My whole thing was, I think, this is like right around when zombie movies were pretty big. And the whole premise is that, this is really stupid. Someone is, polluting an Indian burial ground or whatever. And I don't know if I want to say this or not on the podcast.
Do it. Just get it out.
Say it.
I'm trying to think of the best way to say it.
Just say it.
All right, so someone is like, it's, I don't know, should it be back in the West or should it be like, I don't remember what we said.
Hey, Tim.
All right, so the movie basically revolves around something happens where a Native American curse is unfolded on a society where all taxidermied animals come back to life. And the whole idea was you'd have who do we cast?
Jay Baruchel,
yeah, Bruce Campbell as his dad, and they run a taxidermy shop, and so they're like in the thick of it when it starts,
right?
And he hates Jay Baruchel. His dad hates him,
right?
Like really, really hates him the whole movie. He can't ever do anything right,
right?
And he can't taxidermy right, so he's built some pretty crazy animals. I think one of our friends, I'll give a shout out to Shane Murphy. He came up with the idea that you'd have an animal called the octoleopard.
Yeah.
It's like half octopus, half leopard, and it's got eyes all over his body. And that's why Bruce Campbell is real mad at his son. It's like, you can't do anything right. You really can't. And you set it up like the whole film where you think that they're going to have some sort of, their relationship's going to be reconciled or whatever. But at the end, Bruce Campbell still hates Jay Baruchel, whatever his name is.
Yes.
Yeah, but the whole premise is basically that these taxidermied animals come to life and they have to think of unique solutions to kill them. And I'm pretty sure Bruce Campbell loses an arm at some point and he goes to replace it and you think like he's going to attach a chainsaw.
Right.
But then like he attaches like a tiny kitchen knife to it because this is an Army of Darkness and we can't do that.
But yeah,
anyway, it's just a stupid movie that we talked about.
Yeah.
But it basically is the Zompocalypse with taxidermied animals. It sounds terrifying. Alabama would be overrun. It would be terrifying. There's so many deer heads just like thrashing back and forth at people. Man, let's go watch that movie. Is it a thing? Is it a thing?
Next on the list that we wrote down was Deja Jew.
So this movie premise is real stupid, like all of them. And the whole idea was Groundhog Day, but it follows around a rabbi who's reliving the same day, but it's the Sabbath, so he can't do anything to solve the problems. That's the whole movie. That's it. That's all we have.
That's basically it.
That's it.
Anything you pitch, he can't
solve it.
So
that's not it.
Any solution you pitch,
can't do it. Can't be done. Yep. Sorry, it's the Sabbath.
He can't even shoot on that day.
I think like maybe the ending of that is he just resigns himself to not fix anything because there's no hope. And that's the end of the movie. He's like, he breaks the cycle because he realizes there's nothing worth living for.
So I had kind of pitched an idea a while back. I don't know if you guys remember the movie Shiloh How. It's like about a guy who gets hypnotized and he ends up dating Pepper Potts before she was Pepper Potts.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Pepper Potts.
Yep.
And so like he gets hypnotized to see people's inner beauty. And so I had the idea, instead of Shiloh How, it's Hallow Shao.
Okay.
And Hallow like means holy or right. like sacred. And Shao is actually, and Urban Dictionary listed it, like when you talk about Shao, it means like the most perfect person. And so the idea I had was that like somebody like gets hypnotized to only see people as their spiritual beings, like like their holy being, like the holiest version of that person.
Right.
And so
I have a feeling that movie would be like, no, but nobody it's makes it. No, nobody makes it. He's looking at the pastor, no, like, no one makes it.
But it's like, you know how, like a lot of times at church you hear people say like, oh, you got to see someone as you want them to be, not as they are.
Or
like
how get hypnotized.
Yeah, as God sees them. So it's the Christian version of
you
got to
work
how.
On your spirit man.
Yeah,
and your spirit man looks like Peter Dinklage.
Yeah,
he's like, that you need to work on.
Right with that.
The idea is, it's like the Christian.
He's a handsome man.
You know how there's like, instead of Netflix, there's Pureflix, and it's like all Christian movies?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't know that until now.
Google that. Candace Cameron from Fuller House is like an investor. So is Kirk Cameron. But anyway, like the idea is, I'm serious. I'm not even kidding.
Are they married?
No, they're brother and sister.
What?
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 You didn't know they were brother and sister?
No.
I swear I'm not.
Stop
kidding.
The podcast. We
Candace
have to.
Cameron.
I believe you. Okay. I'm just like.
Yeah, they're brother and sister. They both were on shows in the 80s.
Oh,
so
that's crazy.
He did Growing Pains and she did Fuller House.
Sorry.
And so instead of Hallow Shall, because that's like, oh, it's not really a risque movie, but it's like a secular movie. There's instead of Shallow How, there's Hallow Shall, where like. They get hypnotized to see people.
And Kirk Cameron makes this movie. And it's right? real bad. It's like, it gets negative on Rotten Tomatoes. And everyone was like, why? Why did it happen?
And so I had an idea for this movie because I for anybody out there, I really have a big disdain for Christian movies because they're usually poorly produced. And it's not the message that gets me. It's the production value that kills me.
Yeah.
And so
I'm all for a heartfelt film that's good.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, Woodlawn is the first Christian movie I've seen in a long time that's really good. Woodlawn, please support us. instead of us supporting you. But there's just not a lot of great Christian movies out there. And it's not that I have to watch a Christian movie.
No,
but, like,
I get it.
Christian movies, they made their own genre of Christian movies. So you would think, like, the one thing they would want to do is make sure the production value is really high on them. Instead, it's like you could record it on an iPhone.
that's a different conversation, definitely. if this was a more serious podcast, I might actually have some stuff to say about Christian media in general, but being the least creative material possible. I have another one if you guys
keep going
for it.
Yeah, let's go.
One that I've been, this is like my mecca, like the one I've been pitching for so long that I can't not think about it all the time. Speed 3, The Speed of Sound.
I remember this. Go on.
So basically, the whole premise started out as Keanu Reeves. He reprises his role. Whoever replaced him in Speed 2 is out. That guy sucks. they actually put him in prison, so he can't even try for the role.
Are you really serious?
I just made that up, but I really hope it happens.
I thought you might be serious.
So The Speed of Sound is basically Keanu Reeves is going to go to his daughter's 16th. Well, let's go ahead and say 18th birthday party at a karaoke bar. And they rent it out, and he gets on stage to sing some depressing song because he's super depressed in this movie. And he gets a text message on his phone that says, if you don't stay above a certain amount of decibels, I'll blow up the building. And so basically, Speed 3, The Speed of Sound is Keanu Reeves singing the greatest hits for 2 hours. So a long time ago, we've already done this joke, but I thought of this. Pauly Shore is definitely the villain because the guy who played in Mission Impossible 3 as the villain.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman died. So Pauly Shore replaced him in my head because I was like, well, if I can't have the best, I'm going to have the worst. And he plays the villain in the film. And the whole time he's in the karaoke bar texting and taunting Keanu Reeves. And the guys who run the karaoke bar keep trying to stop Keanu Reeves from singing. And so he's like breaking people's faces while he's singing because he can't stop. Because if he does. But he's also trying to signal to people that the building's going to explode. He's like singing like Disco Inferno and burning down the house and like Urgent Emergency, whatever that song's actually called. But what they say in the song. He's trying to get these people to leave. He's trying to communicate through song. But no one gets it. They're just really confused why he's like hijacking his daughter's birthday party. And at some point near the end, Keanu Reeves with like, you find out he's been stalling all along to find out who it is in the crowd. And when he finds out, he yanks his cell phone out of his pocket, jams it on top of the karaoke machine, reaches in and pulls out wires and connects him to his cell phone. Like he's going to boost the signal some way. He even says, I'm going to boost the signal some way. And then he has the wireless microphone and he's running, chasing down Pauly Shore while singing the greatest hits. And it's him like doing a whole fight scene while singing the whole time. And he's really out of breath. It's great. That was the whole movie for me. I've spent so much time thinking about this movie. This is seriously taken up more time than I really want to admit. Man.
This time it could have been spent on Dassybot.
Dassybot. My son.
My son.
My true son.
You got anything left?
I don't. I was trying to remember what dual running was. I have one more too, actually.
All right, go ahead and do one more.
I have Dunkston Checks Out.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about
So this it. Was no, this was actually one that I thought of a while ago, and when we decided we were going to do the podcast, we came together to pitch this one, and for some reason I pitched Batman 2-2 instead, in spite of the fact that we came together to pitch Dunkston Checks Out when we did our test run. And the whole premise, you guys actually have premises for this movie, I believe.
Yeah.
My whole thing was that it's a documentary about Dunkston Checks In. It's about when they tried to shoot the sequel, and it's about Dunkston getting put down for tearing an actress's arm off. Because, you know, monkeys are super strong. And so the whole premise was going to be...
Deceptively simple.
Deceptively strong. And the whole premise was going to be, it's all about like what led up to him getting put down. And now, in a post-Making a Murderer world, I think this documentary could be great. I think we're going to have to put a monkey down, guys, for the sake of entertainment.
We should come back and do a second episode.
Oh, no.
We should.
Well, this would have been on there if we hadn't already pitched it. Because, you know, we try, I don't know if you've caught on, but we try not to know the titles before we get in here. We may know that the movie exists. Like, I might shoot Nick a text and say, hey, have you seen Paranormal Activity? Just so that you can either go watch it or do some studying. But we don't reveal the title. Like, what's our twist on it? But since we all knew this one kind of got to put on the back burner. But anyway, I just wanted to bring it up because I thought it was a stupid idea. Did you have a different plot for it, or was that pretty much the same?
My plot was that the monkey that plays Dunstan, right, mm-hmm. Gets caught up in Hollywood, and instead of, like, you know, he has a family, and, like, instead of checking in, it's Dunstan Checks Out, and so every time, like, the world gets rough, he just, like, gets really high on catnip or something.
So what do monkeys get high on? Like, I don't know. Real human drugs. Real hardcore human drugs.
Just something he gets high on. That's how he deals with it. It's just a documentary of him getting high on drugs.
My brother Josh has been kind of the auxiliary member to this podcast because he always ends up hearing this stuff before we come on the air. And he thought Dunstan checks out should be like Dunstan goes home from a hard day of work and he like loosens his tie and his wife's like, hey, dinner's on the table, and he just goes to his room and he sits on the bed and he just stares at a picture of his family depressed. And it's just like he's like totally checked out of life. See, I wanted to kill Dunstan, and you guys wanted him to live.
No, I just wanted him to be a drug addict.
I wanted him to commit suicide. So. Oh, no. When you say checks out, that's what I thought you meant. It's it's the whole movie is like him just finally leading up to him. Just
I think it like what happens is he goes to prison and he meets like the Beethoven dog there, and the Beethoven dog's like, "What you in for?" He's like torn a lady's arm off, and then that's when he kills himself with a belt. He hangs himself with a belt. That's what happens, right? Oh. Poor Dunstan.
I'm so sad. You know the actor slash monkey that played Dunstan also was the actor slash monkey that in the movie Ed.
That's Ed. Did.
You know what Ed is, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, with the monkey on the. It's got
Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to think.
I can't remember. I've never seen Ed.
I haven't know. Either because it's got the guy from Friends that I don't like.
I imagine the scene in this Joey LeBlanc where
Matt LeBlanc,
Dunstan and Air Bud and Beethoven. And all the other animals from the from movies get together. What was that movie? Polly? Wasn't that a movie?
Yeah, a parrot.
About a parrot. They all get in the same room, and they have like a support group, and it's real weird because they don't speak the same language because they're animals.
Do you remember the movie Dickie Roberts where there's the child star support group? Yeah.
Dunstan just kills all of them. Oh. Poor Dickie Roberts too. Never got to get made. Thank goodness.
Well, I think we're good.
That's it.
Yeah. Cool. So I just want to go ahead and lead the apology section today with, first, I'm really sorry to the actress who plays Rory on Gilmore Girls when I suggested that you should be a paraplegic.
It's not funny because she really is. People are going to go Google that like because they think it's true. That's what makes you happy.
And then also, I'm sorry
for the end of that series as a whole at the moment. Now it's not over, though, I guess, so.
That's right.
Retcon.
We have a chance.
There's a chance. What if it ends the same way? The second season, it just ends the exact same. The season of Netflix. I don't know how many seasons they're doing. That'd be great, though. No, so as for, we don't really do an apology section, and sometimes we have stuff, sometimes we don't. Some of these movies were probably mildly offensive, so I apologize. We were mostly in high school when we came up with them, and we're hopefully better people now.
No.
David's not. Because David's pure of heart somehow still, but he's still a terrible person. I'm sorry I said that about you. I'm sorry I didn't mention Kevin James until just now.
Yeah. We didn't mention any Kevin James at all. That's right. Who?
It's a clean slate. Episode 10, the reboot. Like, so not going to mention Kevin James at all from here on out.
So there's a kind of like a running joke that, and it's not really a joke, it's just something I do to annoy the guys. When they mention somebody who's even mildly famous, I just say, who? And in the beginning, they used to try and explain who they were until they figured out that I just sit there and screw them.
So Nick did that enough that now we just don't listen to Nick at all. And so it's been hard on Nick because he's like, hey, are you guys listening? Like, we didn't hear you. I'm just kidding.
That's all I got. So, hey, I just want to take a second and thank our listeners. This is our 10th episode, and we're really jazzed about it. We really hope that you guys would go rate us on iTunes. Those ratings really do matter.
Yeah.
And you can read us on iTunes, we're on SoundCloud, we're on TuneIn, we're on Stitcher, we're on, if you want us to come live, you can just call us and we'll come sit in your living room and pitch stuff to you.
Mm-hmm. Something I would like to, since this has been a different episode, if this is your first episode, why not go back and give some of the other episodes a listen, because it's a totally different format. We think you'll really like it.
Yep.
And a suggestion for you, if you're like looking forward, just jumping in at when we finally like kind of really hit our flow with seven
and eight are the best.
Give that a shot, and nine's fine, but give it a shot. That's
ten's okay too.
Yeah, ten's great. 11's probably really good, but
15. But no, nail it.
I just want to put that out there. This is your first podcast. This is not necessarily the norm, so I would give those a shot if you haven't. And we really appreciate all the support and dealing with us for 10 weeks now of us releasing podcasts on and talking about them on Facebook and harassing all of you, and we really do appreciate it. You guys are awesome.
Also, I know that between the three of us, we know more collectively than 30 people, but we only have 30 reviews. So if you're listening to this and you haven't reviewed us, shame on you.
Well, 15 of our people overlap, so it makes sense, kind of. No, so
my checkout.
Yeah. anyway, thank you so much. Also, hey, if you've got a movie that you want us to talk about on the air, We're definitely going to do that here soon, and the format hasn't necessarily been decided yet. We did that once already.
Yeah.
And we might bring it in on days that we're running short, or we just, you know, might do a whole episode where we just take listener suggestions. So just email us at movies@unpitchablepodcast.com. We read all of your emails. It goes to each one of our mailboxes, and we really do appreciate it. Every time you write in, it's a pleasure. It's really awesome to see that people are actually enjoying the show. So feel free.
Do
anyway.
It.
So I just like to talk about MeUndies.
Do it.
Yeah. Anyway, no, we gotta thank the listener.
I thought we did.
Did we?
We have a listener. Wait.
Thank you, listener. Thank you, single listener, for listening to our podcast.
Pick a number between 1 and 2.
6.
Yours is going to be something real stupid.
Cars 3.
Every time I was going to
Mater's Adventure.
Stupid.
And I'm like, what? That's like a real movie. Come on.
Idiot.
Hi, I'm Nick Kagi, and this is a podcast about the Holocaust. That was just a dry run. Do you guys like that? Don't put that in the podcast, please.
I'm laying under there.
Go.
I'm sorry, Tim, it's so comical.
Okay.
Yes, go. Tell me more.
So, I'm laying under there.
Are we not just clapping at you? I'm sorry, go on. Okay.
So I'm laying under there.
My baby's awake.